Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17, these are God's words. Then Moses said to Yahweh, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So Yahweh said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, Yahweh? Now therefore go, and I will be with you. And I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him, and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant work. Moses' response to God is, sadly for us, very much like how we often respond to him when we have made some use of the means of his grace and we have had some expectation of the amount of difference that it would make in us ourselves, particularly in our abilities. Moses says to Yahweh, verse 10, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. This is a horrible response by Moses, saying, I'm not eloquent enough to go speak to Pharaoh, to his face. And so he's talking back to the Lord himself. He even accuses the Lord, who said, even since you began talking to me, it hadn't gotten any better. I'm still not eloquent. I still can't speak. Your word has made no effect, essentially is what he's saying. As horrible as that is to read in Exodus 4 verse 10 with somebody else doing it, I'm afraid, my dear children, that we often do such things. We'll read our Bible or pray for a while. We'll sanctify the Lord's day. We'll sit under the preaching of the word. We'll take the Lord's supper. We'll make use of all the means of his grace. And then we'll say, feels like it's not doing anything. I'm not growing. Well, the point of depending upon the Lord and the means of his grace isn't that we will somehow suddenly become amazing Christians. Yes, we're looking for his grace to mortify sin and grow in Christ and mature, and those are things that we should see. But the main thing in waiting upon the Lord in the means of his grace is to wait upon the Lord. Moses says, your speaking to me didn't make me an amazing speaker suddenly. And the Lord's primary response is, no, my speaking to you means I'm with you. The Lord himself is the difference in the believer's life. Depending upon him instead of depending upon yourself is the difference in the believer's life. Yahweh says to him, verse 11, who has made man's mouth, or who makes mute, deaf, seeing, or blind? Okay, so mute, deaf, seeing, or blind. Three of the four are handicaps, right? Mute, deaf, and blind. So there's two things going on here. One, I won't say duh, because that's too irreverent to talk about something. But the Lord is telling Moses, yeah, I know, of course, how bad you are at speaking, or how good, but just allowing for the moment that it's bad, I'm the one who made you like that, so that I would be with you, so that I would be the difference. Look, he says, who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, deaf, seeing, or blind? Am not I Yahweh? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth. So in all of your weaknesses, whatever weaknesses they are, whether it's mental or physical abilities, whether it's something you're having a hard time getting over psychologically or emotionally, and you know that you should do something, but you're giving yourself the excuse of not living a certain way or not being faithful in a certain part of your life because you don't feel up to it, does not the Lord come now in verses 11 and 12 of Exodus chapter 4 and say, have not I made you that way? I will be with you. Very similar to 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul had told the Lord about his thorn in the flesh, which the apostle under inspiration even calls a messenger from Satan. And the Lord says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord is the one who's given you your weaknesses. And he doesn't give you them so that you can use them as an excuse for being sluggish towards your duty or even rebelling against him, as Moses is about to do in this passage. He gives it to you so that you can, first of all, recognize his providence in assigning to you the entire complex of who you are. Usually when people talk about that, they're like, recognize the gifts that God has given you. Well, Exodus 4 verses 10 through 17 says, recognize the weaknesses that God has given you. Because it all comes in his providence. And he is with you. And the weaknesses have that point of showing that he is the one who makes the difference. So let us be careful that we don't use our weaknesses as excuses. And then let us be careful that we don't have expectations from the use of the means of grace to wipe out our weaknesses and somehow decrease our need for dependence upon God, when part of the whole point of the means of grace is that we would be dependent upon God. Notice as you go through the passage, by the time we get towards the end, in verse 15, he says, I will be with your mouth. The Lord says to Moses, I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. I will teach you. Getting instruction from the Lord isn't a one-time thing at the bush and you're fixed. And then you just go and do whatever the Lord has given you to do. Getting instruction from the Lord is something that's constant. That's one of the reasons why we have to develop the habit of meditating upon Scripture and always having it in our mind. And one of the reasons why we ask the Spirit to always be increasing our understanding of the Scripture that we know and bringing to our minds the appropriate Scripture at the appropriate time and giving us skill in selecting and understanding what passages apply to what situations, because we need to constantly be depending upon God and instructed by him. You don't go to church on the Lord's Day, get fixed for the week, and then go out and live. That's not how it works. Okay, so one, refusing to accuse God, accepting our weakness as in his providence, seeing that it's his presence, constant presence, and our dependence upon him that makes the difference. When Moses realizes his excuses are wiped out, he just turns to open rebellion in verse 13. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever you may send. The word else is not in the Hebrew, but it's obviously the implication. So now he says, anyone in all of creation, or even create someone new, anyone but me. The bottom line is he just says, I don't want to. It's actually kind of refreshing that after all the back and forth, after all the raising the objections, we find out that Moses really didn't have an ability problem or an opportunity problem. He had a willingness problem. It's very refreshing when we can have all of our very carefully constructed objections stripped away and discover that our biggest problem is resistance to the will of God. Forgetfulness that he is the creator and we are the creature. And that therefore, whatever place he has put us in, whatever command he has given us, that is the role that we have, that is the charge that we have. This isn't a one-time thing in our lives. I think we repeatedly discover that in situations where we thought other things were the problem, really we were just rebelling against him. And one of the greatest things that we need from God is an increasingly consistently soft heart towards him. That he would make our hearts softer towards him, and that he would make our hearts more consistent in being soft towards him. So that we would have the habit of being in a situation and just knowing what we ought to do and depending upon him and rejoicing that he's the one in fellowship with whom we get to do it, rather than introducing this useless calculation of whether or not we feel like doing it. Hopefully you are not as humiliated as I am when you think over the course of how you make your decisions in life and realize how many of the decisions of what to do in a particular moment are being made not by this is what your Creator and Redeemer has given you to do in fellowship with him, but rather we're making decisions by what do I feel like doing now. You have something that's an obvious duty, and you have something that's a less obvious duty or a less needful duty, and you know, well, I feel more like that one, so I'm going to do that. Oh, this is one of the benefits of going through the Bible together. We discover that we need repentance. Lord, help us. Well, this final flat-out refusal, after all the excuses have been stripped away, unsurprisingly, verse 14 begins, "So the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moses." It's actually much more vivid in the Hebrew. "The hotness of Yahweh's nostrils," or "the fire of Yahweh's nostrils, was kindled against Moses." The Lord doesn't have nostrils, right? But he speaks in such a way so that we will know what the perfection of God's justice and holiness looks like in response to our rebellion. So that we will learn to hate our rebellion and oppose it with all that we are. Just as God in his holiness and his justice hates our rebellion and opposes it with all he is. That's what his wrath is. His wrath is opposing sin and wickedness with all that he is. That's why 2 Thessalonians 1 says that the hell that the wicked who obey not the gospel end up in is the presence of the Lord and his glory, and that destruction continuously comes from the presence of the Lord. That destruction continuously comes from the glory of the Lord in hell. Those who go to hell don't get to be without God. They get to be in the presence of the infinite God who is continuously opposing them with all that he is, pouring out his wrath. So the fire of Yahweh's nostrils is kindled against Moses. Now, the miracle here is that as angry as Yahweh is against Moses, the rest of the passage is his provision. I mean, we know how. But when Romans 3 talks about Jesus being displayed as the propitiation, the one who has absorbed and endured the fullness of the wrath of God for all our sins, part of the marvel of what Jesus has done is that that God in former times had passed over the sins previously committed, and now we can see how. Because Jesus is the one who's going to absorb all the wrath. And so God is just and the justifier. God is righteous and the one who makes to be righteous. The one who has faith in Jesus Christ. That's what this is, isn't it? The fire of Yahweh's nostrils is burning against Moses, but Moses doesn't get burned up. It's just like the bush. There's the flame in the middle of the bush, but the bush doesn't get burned up. Why? Because God is dealing with Moses according to the worthiness of Christ, even here in Exodus chapter 4. And so you and I, when we realize that our resistance toward God is rebellion, and that what this actually deserves is for God to oppose us with all that he is, and the horror of what that would be, and when we are learning that we should oppose our own sinful rebellion with all that we are, just like God does with all that he is, and we realize the horror of our disobedience. Yet we also realize, because we are not consumed, that God is dealing with us according to the righteousness of Jesus. That God is dealing with us according to the sacrifice of Jesus. And what this looks like for Moses is Aaron's already on his way out. God, who makes deaf and mute and blind, also knows and accommodates and plans for your spiritual weakness. And so he sends Aaron, and did I say Moses is already on his way out? I can't remember now. Aaron, he sends Aaron, and Aaron's already on his way out. And Aaron is going to be a rebuke to Moses, because when Aaron sees Moses, he's not going to be like, "Oh, Moses, it's awful. We have to go to Pharaoh." Lord tells Moses that Aaron's going to be happy. He's going to be like, "Moses, let's go tell Pharaoh." The Lord, and we don't get an account of whatever that interview or however the Lord communicated it to Aaron was. But he says, "Look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart." And then he gives Moses two different illustrations. One in how he speaks to Aaron and Aaron speaks to Pharaoh. That Aaron is kind of Moses' mouth. So the buck still stops ultimately with Moses. But it doesn't stop ultimately with Moses. Why? Because Moses is God's mouth. And that's what he means when he says, "He shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God." Well, that's because God to Moses is his mouth. And that's when he says, "I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do." So that's one illustration. He says, your job isn't to be super skilled. Your job is, when I say open your mouth, when I say open, you open. When I put words in, you speak them. And then the other illustration is the rod. Moses is saying, I'm not skilled enough to be useful in your service. And the last line of the passage is, even a stick is skilled enough to be useful in God's service. And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. The power isn't in the instrument. The power is in the one who wields it. The God who made you a child right now in 2021, and so your office is to submit to and obey what your parents tell you, do whatever chores you have in the house, study your school. The ability isn't in the instrument. It's in him who wields it. He gave you the role that you have. And you depend upon him, and you don't complain and make excuses by means of your inability. But you rejoice that his strength is made perfect in weakness, and that you get to do this in fellowship with him. Isn't this the way God designed to use Moses so much better than if, like, the experience at the bush had the effect that Moses is complaining in verse 10 that it didn't have? That God speaking to him kind of supercharged his ability to speak and made him super able in himself, and then he just goes away in the power and strength and supernatural ability that moment gave him and does it by himself? Isn't it much sweeter and better that because he's still weak, he gets to do this whole thing in fellowship with the Lord? Well, whenever you feel weak, whenever you feel you're not up to it, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, whatever, remember again that the point is that the Lord is with you, that he's the strength. But also enjoy the fact that his design means that all that he has called you to do, he's called you to do in fellowship with himself. And your weakness actually fosters that fellowship. And so rejoice in the goodness of the Lord, and let us not come with those excuses and refusals to him, that living according to how we feel instead of living according to what he has given us to do and what he's commanded us. Those things that really deserve his wrath and that we should be opposed to with all that we are instead. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this part of your word. Thank you for your patience with which you dealt with Moses. Thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus, who has endured the wrath that rebellious sinners deserve. Thank you that these things are all for us, that you deal with us patiently, that you've poured out your wrath against our sin upon Christ as well. that you strip away our excuses and expose our rebellions so that we will hate it, that you give us to love you and serve you and obey you in fellowship with you and dependence upon you. We pray that you would help us to meditate on your word day and night, to lift up our hearts to you in prayer continually, to feel that continual dependence upon you, that by your Spirit we might rejoice at having continual fellowship with you. We confess that because we haven't lived this way, we are often living with discouragement that we did not have to bear, but that we are inflicting upon ourselves. Grant to us instead to live in that dependence upon you and walking with you in obedience to you, that is a means by which we have continual rejoicing and enjoyment of you and fellowship with you. So we pray for your Spirit's ongoing work and pray that you would bring this scripture often to mind and help us to turn it over and remember all the things that we have seen in it, that you'd show us even more of what you say in it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.